Welcome back to another episode of the Neuro Experience Podcast. I'm Louisa. I'm the host. For those of you who are new, welcome. I'm a neurophysiologist and brain coach to elite level athletes, and I also work in the finance space here in New York City. I work with hedge funds and portfolio managers. This entire podcast has always been dedicated to the brain, to upregulating brain health, to understanding the brain, and understanding how we can have a better performing brain so we can have a better performing life. Since 2016, which is when our first episode aired, I've always gone out and sought for the world's best experts as it relates to different areas of health and performance. So come on this journey with me. I'm sure you're going to achieve a lot as it relates to your own brain, your own health, and your own journey. Today, we welcome back Robbie Bent. This is a part two of his episode. If you haven't heard the first episode with Robbie, which was aired on April 11th, it was focused all on breathwork. Breathwork for increased brain and mental performance. Robbie is with us today, and we are going to be speaking about cold water immersion and also heat therapy. If you didn't listen to part one, then I'll give you a brief background on Robbie. Robbie is the CEO and co-founder of Othership, a platform for breathwork, connection, and mental wellness. So in the episode today, we're not only going to be touching on the beneficial effects of cold water immersion on the brain and the body, but we also touch on some of the latest studies in heat therapy. In fact, when it comes to saunas, Robbie said this.
And so they did this one where they put people in an infrared box. One was with heat and one was just red light. And they found massive increase in general mood, more so than some of the leading antidepressants. And so I can get that study name as well. And so, you know, you're thinking about longevity, lifespan, and also mood. What else can you put your body through that's going to, your body and mind through, that's going to have that kind of result?
So we touch on a lot of well-known articles within this episode as it relates to brain health, performance, longevity. And Robbie also talks about the amount of time that you should be spending in heat and the amount of time you should be spending in cold on a daily or weekly basis to get these effects. So before we get into the episode, please go through, rate the podcast, write a written review. It helps push our episodes out further, and it also gives me an insight into how I'm doing. Without further delay, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast, where you will learn the science of human performance and optimization. Robbie, welcome back to the Neuro Experience Podcast. I'm so excited to have you again.
Awesome. Yeah, the first one was a lot of fun. So excited for round two.
Yeah, I brought you back on because I think that, you know, we spoke, and for everybody listening, if you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, it's like a prerequisite because we spoke about cold. We spoke about this science of cold immersion, what it does to our brain, our body. And then we moved further into the science of breathing. And then we also spoke about a lot of tactics for everybody to, you know, tools, protocols to use to help them in stressful situations. And I realized that we didn't even touch the surface. So I'd love to talk more about what you're doing in Toronto around saunas, because I know that with some of the protocols that you use, you're doing both cold and hot water, cold and sauna, I should say, cold and heat. So I'd love to talk about that. But before we do, why don't you just give us a quick introduction, 2 minute introduction for those who haven't heard the first episode.
Epic. So was a, you know, super high performer, investment banker, really stressed, like success was really important to me, work really hard, like kind of that vibe of, oh, if I'm not successful, I'm a nobody. Started a startup, it ended up failing, felt brutal, got really into meditation and psychedelics to kind of deal with that pain and that failure. Joined Ethereum really early on. And so, you know, was with Ethereum for 4 years and then started really trying to teach people about psychedelics and meditation without a lot of success. And so went on this quest to figure out what are the modalities that are going to help people in North America that are high performers, addicted to their phones, athletes, chronically overstimulated. Like, what can we do now that's going to be accessible? And found ice baths, saunas, breath work, a few of these other things, and then made that into a business.
I love that. I love how you've found your calling through hot and cold, something that I really believe in. And what I told you in the first episode is that I have a cold plunge in Australia, in Sydney, in my apartment, which I don't have in New York City. Something that I'm yet to buy, I'm iffing and ahhing on it, maybe if I move back full time to Australia, is a 2-person infrared sauna. I love saunas, not just because of how I feel if it's a placebo, but also because of the amount of research that's gone into it to suggest that this is just such a good protocol for anybody. Just, you know, for the when you think about saunas and you think about heat shock proteins, how they can mimic cardiovascular fitness. I think that is so phenomenal. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the science of heat and what you're doing to help your clients with this.
Yeah, there's just so much there. So the first, you know, there's 2 studies we can probably link in the show notes, but one is a study on 2000 men in Finland. I might butcher the numbers a little bit, but 2000 men in Finland over 20 years. And it showed for people that use the sauna 3 times a week, you know, it was like a 50% reduction in cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer. So in North America. And so my parents are also 70, and I'm like begging them, like, please, you have to get a sauna. Like, this is the number one thing you can do. It's so easy. You like just go in, you sit there, you're listening to a podcast, you're talking to a friend, you know, it's like, imagine where you're watching TV instead of that, like doing that time in the sauna. So 50% reduction in cardiovascular disease, massive, like 40% reduction in Alzheimer's. And we can talk about that. There's some assumptions that because the heat shock proteins break up plaques in the blood, it can potentially help with Alzheimer's. And then the, you know, just a 40 or 50% reduction in all-cause mortality. So just your general chance causes of death and increase in lifespan due to sauna use. So that's one study that's amazing. The other is a study on mood. And so they did this one where they put people in an infrared box. One was with heat and one was just red light. And they found massive increase in general mood, more so than some of the leading antidepressants. And so I can get that study name as well. And so, you know, you're thinking about longevity, lifespan, and also mood. What else can you put your body through that's going to, your body and mind through, that's going to have that kind of result? So those are the first 2 things to remember. It's just like, okay, I'm going into this thing. And when you're in the sauna, it's the opposite of the ice bath. Your brain is producing dynorphin. So you get in at first, you're in this parasympathetic state, feels, oh, this heat, so nice. I'm relaxed. I'm chilling out. And, you know, about 6 minutes in, depending on the temperature, 8 minutes in, 10 minutes in, you start to feel claustrophobic, you start to overheat, you know, and that's where like the benefits, the good stuff starts happening, which we can get into. But what's happening in the brain is producing dynorphin, which is the feel bad hormone. It's you feeling, ah, I got to get out of here. You know, I'm feeling uncomfortable. The longer you push yourself, when you come out and take that first big inhale out of the sauna, your brain is ready to produce and absorb endorphins, the exact opposite, the feel good hormone. And those last, you know, the entire night and sometimes for days, which is why I think they find this boost in mood. And so, you know, it's going to make you feel better, right? And then you mentioned some other things, like your heart rate is increasing. So I'll wear my Apple Watch in the sauna and I'll see it get up to 140, 150, which is where it's at with like light jogging. So they actually call it an exercise mimetic, which means it mimics exercise. So if you're working out 3-4 times a week, you know, you want a rest day, you can get in the sauna and have work out your vascular system, which is phenomenal. It's extremely detoxifying. So you're increasing the amount you sweat, which is getting rid of like PCBs, phthalates, toxins, heavy metals, which are in our environments more and more. So it's a fantastic for detoxification, often recommended for people post chemotherapy. And we've seen people come into our space and like just black the sweat. So, you know, you're going in there daily, you're boosting your mood, you're increasing your vascular system and abilities, you're improving your circulation system, you're detoxifying. Like, the benefits are pretty much endless. So we can stop there. There's more hormonal ones, which I'll talk about. We can stop there and see if there's any questions on that.
One question we get asked often is, well, what's the difference between a dry sauna and an infrared sauna?
So this is going to be a controversial point, and you know, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, but in all the, I've probably read 60, 70 papers on this topic. And so Rhonda Patrick has a really nice resource on both cold and hot, and it's kind of a summary of all the existing literature. And in the literature she links to, there's a number of research papers, and none of them are really on infrared. So there's nothing, like there's these claims, you'll see these marketing claims like, oh, you know, you're heating up from the inside, and so you're detoxifying more, and you know, it's breaking up the fat molecules in your body from the heat going inside. There's like literally no research to back that up. And what I've actually seen is the hotter, the better, because a lot of the benefits, the increase in heat shock proteins you mentioned, the increase in growth hormone, the reductions in inflammation, they come from your body being stressed. And so you actually want to be overheated. And so infrared runs, you know, generally 158 to 168, where a good dry sauna, 180, 188, 190, 200, say 180 to 200. And so the difference is quite stark. And so in a 15 minute dry sauna experience, you can heat your body significantly more than infrared. Infrared's still great. I have an infrared in my house. Like you said, it's amazing for like, if you live in an apartment, you have a two person, it can just plug in. It just takes longer. So in an infrared session for a sauna aficionado, 50 minutes to an hour. Whereas, you know, a lot of people don't have that much time. So a dry sauna, you can be 15 minutes.
So what are your thoughts, if you've got any science to back this up, on the contrast therapy, going into a sauna and then hopping into a cold bath? Because for me, when I did it, so there's somewhere in Brooklyn where I go where you jump into the sauna and then you can get into a cold plunge. And I got to tell you, I was so dizzy. I felt like I was going to faint. So I don't particularly get any benefits from doing that. I prefer to do them and space them out by like 8 hours at least.
So really interesting. There's not a lot of science around contrast therapy specifically. Most of the science is around sauna use, like some of the studies you mentioned, or ice bath, cold therapy. And there's a lot of studies on both, but solo. And so one thing that's interesting about contrast therapy, it's been used in many cultures since the beginning of time. So hot, cold, you know, Japan, the onsen, Russia, the banya, Mexico, the temescal, indigenous cultures, the sweat lodge. So like this practice of going to hot and cold has been around since, you know, ancient times. So I don't think there's any danger in it, but it can make you feel dizzy. And so what's happening in the sauna, your heart rate's increasing significantly, 140 to 150 BPM. In the ice bath, it's decreasing significantly. If I'm using my Oura Ring or Apple Watch, it can get down to 33, 35 BPM, almost of that in like sleep or, you know, being unconscious. And so you do have a rapid range between the two. I don't think there's much danger. We've seen this, again, across many countries, since the beginning of time, thousands of people, never seen like an issue with a heart attack or something like that. So I don't think there's danger, but I don't know that there's necessarily any benefit. And what is really interesting is if you're in the sauna, the benefits are coming from being overheated. So even when you come out, it's nice to like cool down and leave your core heated for a bit longer. And just like the ice bath, what we have people do after they come out, it's really breathe into that feeling of being cold and your body having to heat itself up naturally. You know, you're going to shiver. So your body heats itself up by shivering or through thermogenesis, which is burning fat to create heat. And so it's nice to give a little bit of space. So, you know, maybe it's 5 minutes, 6 minutes from the plunge back into the sauna. Maybe in the sauna you're waiting. So I think it's not necessarily dangerous. People do get lightheaded because of that change. But I haven't seen any like long-term damage. I haven't seen any science on the benefits of contrast. So I don't know. There might be some. But to me, I think spacing out a bit is great, but also like if you're at the bathhouse you're at, you know, you don't want to go one time to the sauna, come back 8 hours later and do the plunge. So I don't think as terms of like recommending to clients or athletes, doing them both in one session is okay.
So let's get into timing. I know this is always a question we get asked, like, Louisa, how long do I spend in the sauna? And I guess it varies, but for me, I go to the sauna and I spend, I think I set it to 40 minutes. So what are the recommendations and how many times per week should we be doing this?
So Peter Attia has a really great blog post on sort of, and so does Huberman. So we can find those and put them in the show notes on like specific time per week. And so if I want to recall, I'm going to guess here and it might be wrong, but it was like 8 minutes in cold water, you know, 32 to 38 degrees per week. And I think it's 80 minutes of sauna. So 420 minute sauna is at about 180 to 188. So that's a dry sauna. So for optimal effects, kind of like one dry sauna four times a week, or maybe a day you do two 15 minute saunas. So three times a week. So I'd say that's around the optimal. Things that you got to look out for, like cold, you can actually do every day. You can't really overdo it. And you're not going to habituate to it. The heat, you need to be more careful because you get dehydrated. So if you're taking an infrared sauna every day, wicked plug for a product called Element, LMNT. Mm. It's amazing. It's a salt. And so for us, because we're in the sauna daily, we have trained, you know, guides that are coaching classes in the sauna and are in there many times per day. We're using the salts because it's very hard to rehydrate with just water. Your body actually can't absorb water alone. It needs minerals and elements. So magnesium, and salts are super important if you're sauning more than like 3 to 4 times a week. If you're doing an infrared, that amount changes. So I would say like in a dry sauna at 188, you're about 15 minutes. In an infrared, you're what you said, 40, 45. And I think that honestly, the best thing to do is test your own body. And some people aren't going to like this because they want like 10 minutes, you know, but you actually adapt to heat over time. You become heat adapted. And as you become heat adapted, your body perspires more easily. Your blood pumps more plasma. You're actually more able to retain your temperature, which is really interesting because if you do a sauna 3-4 times a week, when you exercise post, you're actually more able to control your temperature more effectively and efficiently. And as a result, you can work out harder. So it's a really nice benefit of being like heat and cold adapted. So even how much you use the sauna is going to change based on, you know, where you started and where you finished. So what I would say to people is a nice goal, you know, 15 minutes in a dry sauna 3 times a week, 40 minutes in an infrared sauna 3 to 4 times a week. Test if you're getting dehydrated by the color of your pee. Use elements if you don't. And then the other thing is if you want to push yourself, notice when you feel discomfort. So if those timing don't work for you, what I like to do is, okay, I want to get out. You know, I felt it once. I'll take a deep breath. I'll wait a bit. Oh, I want to get out a second time. I felt a deep breath, you know, wait a couple minutes. Oh, I want to get out a third time. And on the third time, I'll say, okay, I'm getting out. And what I know then is it's not really a matter of time. It's a matter of pushing beyond your level of comfort. And just like we mentioned the ice bath on the last show, it was kind of, I'm getting to a point of fight or flight and I want to work on my resilience and my ability to, you know, kind of breathe through challenging situations. And so I think something that's safe is sauna 3 times of like, I feel uncomfortable and you're good to go. And that's a good baseline.
Mm. So you're doing a lot of, like you mentioned earlier, you're doing a lot of these sessions, okay, where groups of people come in and you're doing breathing sessions in the hot, in the cold. People coming in who have just gone through a breakup, for example, that got high emotions and they're like, you know what? I need a state change. I'm going to come in and do this. Are you dealing with people who have gone through like a massive, massive trauma or massive emotional events that are coming to you and they wanting to heal through the art of cold and hot therapy?
It is insane.
I can imagine.
So we're trying to, you know, if you think about what someone does now, if you're dealing with trauma. And so for people who are listening, who don't know what that is, it's, you imagine you've felt rejection, fear, failure. It doesn't have to be like, you know, could have been as aggressive as like assault or war or a massive car accident, but it could be as simple as like, you know, when you were young, you reached out to your mom for support and she wasn't there and you felt abandoned. It could be, you know, as you mentioned, you were in a relationship and you thought you had support and, you know, your partner said something mean to you and that feeling of like tensing up in shock, you know, even at work, you delivered something and someone says, hey, that's stupid or your idea is dumb. It's like, ooh, I really feel that. And so we're trying, what can you do now if you feel that? You know, there's like meditation apps and then on the other side, there's therapy. And so if you think of therapy, like, okay, I got to pay $250. I need to go talk to this person. I don't know. You know, I got to share about myself. I have to be vulnerable. For a lot of people, it's really hard to, there's a lot of friction. And a lot of my friends have just, you know, if you're listening and you're an athlete, you might be like, I'm fine. You know, this is just how I feel. Cause there's stigma around like, if I asked you, what feelings have you had today? Most people won't even be able to say like, yeah, I was angry or I was jealous or, you know, I was ashamed. Like it's just kind of on autopilot. So we're like, there must be a better way to help people who are dealing with emotions. You don't have to like go through this whole process. And so we've created these classes that are trying to make emotional regulation, which is like feeling into your emotions and letting them go more fun and more like engaging and more community driven. And so an example, you're probably listening like, what is this guy talking about? Like, so a sauna class, we have one called the Rose Thorn Bud. And this is just one of many. And so this is a classic practice. The rose is the best moment of your year. And so you come in the sauna, there's 50 people. There's an ice ball that goes on the stove with rose geranium scent. There's somebody waving a towel around, hitting you with the hot air. And you think, what's the best moment of my year? And you really feel into it with a nice, going back to our first podcast, you know, 4-7-8 breathing pattern, getting into that rest and digest state. Then all of a sudden the thorn comes. Lights go out in the sauna. It's completely dark. Someone starts playing a gong. So you hear like, wah, wah, wah. And it's, what do I want to let go? And so maybe it's a breakup. Maybe it's getting fired. Maybe it's, you know, self-confidence or imposter syndrome. You bring that to mind and everyone yells, ah, like completely in the darkness. No one looking at you. Your chance to release those emotions. Then, you know, okay, you've released now. Now it's about the bud. Like, what's new? What are you excited for today or for that year? Candles come on. And, you know, beautiful classical music, a cinnamon smell on the stove. And so then you start to feel into your body, what's my intention? And so it's really taking people through, if we just sat here and did the rose thorn bud, it's nice, but you're kind of like, okay, is anything really happening? But when you put the hot and cold in, the thinking mind just stops. So you can really start to feel these things in your body and release. And so I think there's something really special here where, you know, if you think about SoulCycle or Barry's Bootcamp, you know, or Orange Theory or any of these brands, they made fitness fun. And before that, fitness was Gold's Gym. I'm a professional athlete. I'm a bodybuilder. And now it's really for anybody. You know, if you're not an athlete, but you want to go and have fun on a Friday night, great. But what is that for emotional health? You know, I can go to a therapist on my own because I'm an addict or depressed. Like, that doesn't sound very inspirational. I can go to a personal, you know, retreat and like a Tony Robbins. That's not that accessible. What about making a class on a Friday night, that's fun, but you're doing some emotional work and it's like amazing sensory experience and it's healthy. So that's kind of the vibe of, I think we're trying to make getting in touch with your emotions more accessible for like millions of people who've struggled.
You've had experience in that, haven't you? Struggling and substance abuse. And that's kind of what led you to where you are today.
Yeah. And so this is, you know, it's like, why is this guy talking about this kind of stuff? And so for me, I was, you know, as I mentioned, a banker, an entrepreneur and really high achiever, but at the same time struggling with alcohol and cocaine, probably 10 years. And I was functional, but I would like disappear on a weekend. And I didn't have any idea of how to deal with stress or emotions or even what these emotions were that were driving me to use. And through meditation, psychedelic medicines, I got sober. And then started doing this like hot, cold stuff because I wanted something to do at night. I wanted to be like inspired. I didn't want to go to a bar. I wanted to be around friends and still be like in a place that felt cool. And I love like AA and I went to some meetings and it just was like in the basement of a church and it didn't really feel to me that I felt broken. And I thought, well, just because I'm an addict, like doesn't mean I'm broken. You know, I still want to be inspired. And I wanted like healing to be kind of fun. And so we're just like obsessed with this idea of, can we make this accessible for everybody? And if you have already a meditation practice or use psychedelics or do yoga, great. But the reality is 85% of people don't. And most people are just like me, not knowing how they're feeling, super stressed, struggling, you know, phone all the time, work all the time, life's not going the way you want. And
you're basically writing the biographies of everybody that lives in New York City right now.
Yeah, it's exactly. And so it's just like life is way harder than it was 30 years ago in a lot of ways. Like it's not common for you to wake up, check your phone, social media, Slack, Discord, 15,000 emails, 40 newsletters, TikTok. It's insane for our minds to like go. And so as a result, I was just like, fuck, it'd be nice if we could teach people to create some space. And like meditation is an amazing tool. And like 20 years ago, it you know, you could get into it. And I just think now it's not the starting point. You need to hit people with the bazooka, you know, and the bazooka is like dark sauna in it together as a community, like screaming together. And we do such, man, like we created one for Valentine's Day where we had 14 couples come in and you would eye gaze with your partner in the sauna and tell them when you felt most supported. And then you would go into the plunge together, come out and hug each other to warm up. And it's like, isn't like, imagine that on a Friday night as a date, like how connecting that is. So I think there's a lot of, you know, you said like cold plunges aren't even here. There are no emotional classes happening. And so I think it's just going to be a huge field where it's normal for people to, on a Friday night, to go and like work on feeling more gratitude in these types of classes. So that's what I'm most excited about.
What are the after effects of this? So it's just like, you know, we can go to the gym and work out, but the after effects are only going to have a beneficial effect if we adhere to a strict diet, a strict sleep protocol. So what are the after effects of doing something like this?
I mean, I think just like going to the gym on its own, there's benefit, right? Like we had discussed before, you're creating inflammation, your body's getting stronger. So baseline, hot and cold, like none of this other stuff, just the sauna, you're getting all the benefits we talked about. Longevity, mood boosting, increase in FOXO3, which is a longevity hormone, increase in hot heat shock proteins. All these longevity benefits are happening no matter what. And they're going to happen every time you use the hot cold. So great. You know, what I've also found is these things help set a baseline. So if you're, let's be real for a minute, you know, you're busy, you're like maybe not working out like you should, you've started ordering Uber Eats because you're stressed, and then maybe on Friday, Saturday, you're drinking, and like that's what your life is. It might be hard to be like, yeah, I'm going to go crush like 3 SoulCycle classes this week. It just might feel like, fuck, that's tough. You might be really busy to go and spend an hour alone in a sauna. But one thing I know for a fact everyone is doing is spending social time during the week, whether it's at a movie, going out for, especially in New York, like I'm sure, you know, how many times you get invited, oh, let's go for drinks tonight. That's the common, like, let's have 2 drinks.
7 nights a week.
Let's have 3 drinks. and then those 2 drinks turn into like 9 drinks. And then it's like, fuck, now I feel like shit. What if there was like, yo, let's go do a sauna ice bath together. So you're getting all those longevity benefits, plus you're connecting. The other really beautiful thing is like, imagine just not having your phone for an hour. You know, like even if you go for drinks, it's like, oh, I'm going to just quickly check. And everyone's kind of checking their phone. And so it's a no phone space. So I think even if you have, and hopefully you don't, but even if you're, you know, an alcoholic and you're sleeping shitty and you're a workaholic and you're smoking, like you can just do this twice a week right away. And it's going to help.
That is phenomenal. You know what I was thinking about this entire time? Imagine a place where obviously you're not drinking, you're getting healthy, you're not on your phone. And as a woman, you don't have to do your hair and makeup. Cause I tell you, every year I get older, that the hair and makeup is just weighing on me. And I'm sure everybody listening to this, well, every woman understands what I'm feeling. So Robbie, I'm going to have to take a trip to come and see you in Toronto. I've never been, but I'm going to have to come there and do some work with you. Why don't we're going to link everything that you've spoken about, but why don't you just give us a quick rundown on where we can find you and a bit more about the app.
Awesome. So I'm at RobbieBent1 at Twitter. So that's where I like talk about our business and my DMs are open. So if you want a complimentary session in the Toronto space and you live in Toronto, message me and I'll gift you one just as a gift to Louisa's following. And then the app, you can message me as well. We have a scholarship program, so if it's not available financially, hit me up and we'll get you help set up to give it a try. So there's a 2-week free trial on it. It's sort of the best breathwork content in the world, kind of like a Headspace or Calm, but fully around breathwork. So in under 10 minutes, you can change your nervous system state up or down, like a coffee or, you know, an anti-anxiety. And then, we are at othership.app and at othership.to for the physical space. And we'll be opening more spaces in Austin, Miami, Brooklyn in the next couple of years. So if you're interested in the mission, this vibes with you, hit me up. We'd love to gift you with some products.
Robbie Bent, thank you so much for being part of the Neuro Experience podcast.
Thanks, Louisa.